If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this exciting episode of Mind Pump.
It's January, motherfuckers. Ooh, time to get in shape.
It's Boom. A new year, everybody.
For the first 32 minutes, we do our usual intro conversation. We talk about if Mind Pump moved to solo podcasting. What would that be like?
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Who's suck?
Who's 2018, it's the Sal DiStefano show.
No.
Don't piss everyone off. It's not true.
Hi, I'm Sal.
Then we talk about narcissism and confidence. Follow up. We talk about pheromones and chemistry between people. We talk about
Bad smell good.
We talk about Dr. Bronner's.
Is it Bronner's or Boner's?
Bronner's.
Bronner
soap
Boner.
And the wacky label. You got to buy the soap and read the label.
Just for the label.
And figure out what the hell they're trying to say. Yeah. By the way,
we need to decipher this, everybody.
It's a good all natural soap. I've been using it forever. You can find it at Thrive Market, who also happens to be one of our sponsors. If you go to thrivemarket.com/mindpump, you will get 1 month free membership, $20 off your first three orders of $49 or more, and free shipping. We also talk about how stress and diet affect the body smell, because sometimes people stink, and our animal-like nature. We also mention Organifi green juice. Adam actually uses it before his workouts. They are one of our sponsors. If you go to OrganifiShop.com, enter the code MINDPUMP, no space, you'll get a massive discount. Then we get into the questions. First question was, someone was asking us if our pre-workout rituals have changed. You know, they've been listening to the podcast for a long time. We used to do certain things before our workouts to get ready. They are radically different today. Why are they different, and what do we do that is different? The next question was, what do we feel, or how do we feel about female-only exercise areas in gyms, and what does that say about society?
They still exist, huh?
Damn society.
Yeah.
Next question was, besides moving, better sleep, and good nutrition, what are some of the other big rocks to improve the wellness of our children? Like, what should you focus on?
Watch your kids, fool.
To get your kids healthy besides, you know, moving more, sleeping better.
Pay attention.
And eating better. And finally, the last question is, this particular individual feels worse at first when they start a detox program or protocol before they start feeling better. And, of course, lots of people have experienced this. You know, when you go on a fast or you change your diet radically, you feel crappy at first. Then you start to feel better. Why does that happen? What's going on in the body? Or are we all just crazy?
Hmm.
Also, this is January 2nd. You're right. You're in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. This is when everybody makes those resolutions to get more fit or just to improve themselves. One of the problems with making these resolutions that in our experience is people just don't have a plan. Like they go into January like, okay, I'm going to work out. I'm going to get in better shape. I'm going to eat better. What does that mean? I mean, you can work out right or you can work out the wrong way, both of which will create drastically different results for your body. We have something called the MAPS Super Bundle. Now, the MAPS Super Bundle includes several of our workout programs, several of our MAPS programs. And if you do them in a row as we've laid them out, you'll have the entire year planned out for you. You'll be able to work out every single week. You'll know what to do, what exercises to do. You'll be able to see us demonstrating them in videos. You'll have exercise blueprints. Your goals will change throughout the year. There'll be correctional components. There'll be athletic components. There'll be aesthetic components and strength components. Your workouts will never get boring because things will be changing, but we're progressing you throughout the entire year so that when you go into 2019, you're looking and feeling amazing. Also, because it's a new year, because it's January, if you enroll in any bundle, because we have more than just a super bundle, we also have the sexy athlete bundle, we have the build your butt bundle, the
Prime Pro
we
bundle.
Have the Prime Pro bundle. So different bundles which combine different MAPS programs based on your goals. If you enroll in any bundle, you're going to get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Now, these things are always limited edition.
And this is a sexy one.
So you're going to get yourself a shirt. They're going to be gone. You'll be one of the only ones that have the shirt, so you'll be super cool.
Yeah,
it's a good time to enroll in one of our bundles. For more information, all you got to do is go to mindpumpmedia.com.
It's t-shirt time.
Let's give away some shirts in the new year. How many reviews?
11 reviews.
Wow, dude.
You know what? I got to teach people how to do this.
You've been
again.
Slipping, Sal.
You know what it is? It's my fault. I blame myself.
Everything in 2017 was your fault.
Our successes and our failures.
I'll take
We want the new Sal. Yeah. I'll take responsibility for 2018.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what you got to do if you want to leave a review and get a chance to win a shirt. Go to the search function on your podcast app. Even if you already subscribe to Mind Pump, enter in Mind Pump. Then click on the icon, the Mind Pump icon. Then it'll pop up and you'll see there's an area where you can leave a review.
You just got one of those little teenage finger things for girls right there.
What are you talking about?
That's cute.
Not only is it teenagers, but it's for girls too. The pop thing?
All the chicks.
Yeah, bro.
Do you like twirl with it?
Yeah, yeah. No, it just so I don't drop it in the toilet.
Where's the bejazzling?
Yeah, I think he's going to bedazzle it.
Bejazzle. I don't know. It's kind of like a bejazzled vagina.
You know how much bedazzling Justin does, right?
I know all about it. I'm so glittery.
All right, we are going to give away 3 shirts.
We're still hooking it up, though, huh?
Yeah, nice. we're giving away 3 to Agrotex, I Need Google Plus, Alexandra Horn. All of you are winners. Send the name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Send your shirt size, your shipping address, and we'll get that right out to you.
Thank you.
Get some.
Welcome to the Sal Power Hour with his 2 sidekicks.
The 2 power balls, lefty and righty.
Oh, man.
Hey, K90FM. Yeah, your host, DJ Jazzy JJJ.
You're here live with Sal. This is Stefano.
Stefano. Lightning.
Sabato Gigante.
Take it away, Sal.
Adam Schefter.
Schefter.
Dude, we should do episodes where we each pretend to be like the main dude.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? We've
all agreed that there is a special magical chemistry amongst the 3 of us and that Mind Pump would never be where it's at if there was just one of us, right?
Yeah.
What part?
Me and Justin are starting another podcast.
Yeah, we're starting our own solo thing.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
What would be, if it was only you running this show, what would be the worst part about it?
The worst part?
Yeah, the worst part. I don't need to hear you fucking stroke yourself.
Let me tell you.
What would be the worst part?
God, I don't know.
If you're doing it by yourself?
Yeah. For that's easy for me.
Not only for yourself personally, but
getting
also,
started, man.
But also
that's
as a listener, too.
Yeah.
Like, what would they like?
I'd be
like
so polarizing, dude. By myself, I'd be so polarizing.
Yeah, you'd have
which
is not necessarily a bad thing, actually. You would divide a lot of people, right? You and I have
you
that
just
in common.
Have a really, like, niche market that was, like, you know, feverish towards you.
I'd just piss a lot of people off.
And then you'd have everybody else that hated you.
Because if I get in a bad mood, then I become...
We make you more likable.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Otherwise, I'm like, you know, mega, you know, pompous asshole. You know what I'm saying?
This is the ego explosion show.
Hi, I'm Sal, and I know everything.
I know the entire universe.
I'm an expert on being an expert.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm never wrong.
I already annoyed myself. All right, your turn, guys.
I think people get really frustrated with me because without you guys, I'd probably be making up at least 3 to 5 words an episode.
Oh,
and then people will be like, fuck
it. That's not that bad. Think of something worse. You're going easy on yourself.
No.
Really?
I'd be like Captain Trail Off. You know, like I'll start talking about something and then I would just go on like 20,000 different tangents.
Ramps and water?
Yeah, everything would just go away from me. Nobody would be able to rein me in and it would be horrible.
You know what the worst thing about your episodes would be, Justin? Is you wouldn't know what to name it.
Yeah, yes. Name it later. Like,
damn, I talked about a
I
lot
don't know.
Of stuff.
Yeah,
I do it today.
Yeah.
This episode,
widgets. You know, or like just name something.
Yeah, you got to give us a better one, Adam. Yeah.
Than that, okay.
Yeah, because that's not that bad.
Well, I mean, mine. I'm like you. Like, I'm very loved and hated. You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of middle of the road people with me. Like, oh, I like Adam. He's a good guy. It's like you either like me. Or you really don't like
me. We're lucky because the people that hate you like me.
Yeah, no, that's why.
And the people that don't like me hate
you. 100%.
Hold on. Don't like me like you. Sorry.
It is weird.
That's for sure the magic between this.
We planned it that way.
We
took a personality test.
We had no idea. The irony of it is we're very much so a lot alike. That's what's funny.
That's true.
Which I think the things that people don't like about each of us individually.
It's just the delivery is different,
right? Yeah. So I think a lot. So like when I get
nobody doesn't like Justin.
If somebody everybody does like, really, they do.
Which is ironic because in real life Justin's an asshole. In real life he's the biggest. Dick.
Yeah, in real life you guys would definitely like Justin or Sal.
I was like a bully, so this is all new to me.
Yeah, he like he hits kids and just random kids.
Just random kids. Just walks down the come here, kid. Walking down the mall, he just fucking slap kids.
He's like, hey guys, watch
everybody.
Hey, a kid.
Hey, grandma.
He needed it. That kid needed it.
Push that kid in the wheelchair over. I was fucked up. It went too far.
Wow, I'm not that much of an asshole.
No, I think a lot of people that over the course of the time that we've been building this thing that have ever said anything that negative to me about any of you, it's more Sal than Justin always. It's hard, never Justin. And if it's Sal, it's actually
well, they just feel bad for me.
Well, it's actually a
hold on. You get a lot of people telling you negative shit about me.
No, not a lot at all. Okay. I'm telling over the course of 3 years, if there's ever
there's
been
that
someone,
one guy.
There's yeah no there's a, I've had the same thing to you I know Fuck. That but what they it's people that actually just misunderstand you. It's never like the things that they like, oh, I don't really like Sal because he thinks he knows it all. And if you meet you in person, like if you know you as a person, you're not like that.
No, in fact, it doesn't come across.
You
like
don't
that
converse
at all.
That way. Like if you're having a back and forth conversation, they're hearing it. And so it sounds like you're talking to everybody all the time, and they're just not
receptive people,
right?
And, yeah, and, like and they're putting up a wall right away, like ah, fuck you, I don't want
to
hear it,
right? Yeah, and actually, you're not like
they're just
that.
Not ready to hear the truth.
That's it, man. Yeah, that's it.
And that's where Adam comes in like a fucking wrecking ball. That's you. Here's the fucking truth, you asshole. Yeah.
So I think that the few complaints over the years that I have had over your personality, it's misunderstood. Yeah. I think I'm misunderstood. I think for a lot of people that think I'm this arrogant. I don't know who started it, who nicknamed me the ego to start this, but people took that and ran like I'm this super cocky type of person, and I'm very confident, 100%. But I think I'm pretty humble too, dude. There's a very humble. I think that was something I used to teach to my staff all the time. Was that
you're very confident in your humbleness. You know what I mean? You're a little cocky about being humble. We need to fix that. No, I'm just kidding.
But I used to tell people that I think the truest or greatest art to being a really good leader is to be ultra confident yet humble at the same time. Yeah. I think to be a great leader,
you have to. Who was it? It was a psychology test, the test that we took. Mm-hmm. So this is an old episode. So if you want to, I don't know if you can find it. It's way back in the
in the
100s.
Type of narcissism.
Yeah, and we all got this really in-depth psychology test done on us by an actual psychology professor and a good friend of mine. And we all ranked higher than normal in narcissism, which sounds
way higher,
which sounds bad. Mm-hmm. And when we first looked at it, we're like, oh shit. And she goes, no. She goes, if entrepreneurs and leaders always tend to score higher in narcissism because you have to, like if you have to think you're good or better than most people in order to lead them. Otherwise, why would you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't feel you're ready for it, or you're not worthy of it.
So I felt better about that.
Yeah.
But she said that.
Yeah. Well, there's some vindication.
There's some truth that though. If you're going to be leading, you can't lead.
You
and
have
not
to
be,
have some self.
You can't be confident. You can't not be confident and lead a group of people in a direction. Otherwise, they'll stop
it's
following.
Work.
Listen,
and then
man,
you're taking a walk by yourself.
I am not going to follow a dude that's like, all right, everybody, I think it might be safe if we go this way. I think it's okay. What do you guys think?
I think
what
the bears are sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I'd be like, fuck
you better
that
fucking
guy.
Know.
Yeah. I'll follow the guy that's like, oh, for sure it's this way, even if he doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to be like, well, if he's that confident,
yeah.
You know what I mean? He might.
We'll take a sword.
That's my secret.
Whatever.
That's really my secret if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Is you just, if you believe it, they'll believe it.
That's it.
So you have to trick yourself.
I believe that.
You have to trick yourself into believing things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think you and I would have the same issue with our show. We'd have a group of people that enjoy it, that totally identify with us and like or relate to us. Like
you'd have more bros. I'd have more hippies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because when you look at the people that don't like each of us, that's probably you turn off the bros because you feel like they feel like you insult them a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I think that
when they can figure out how to use their iPhone to click.
And
on
I think like the super intellects that hang on to every word and everything like that. Because I'm typical, I fumble shit around.
Hey man,
they don't like that.
I tell you what, I learned this a long time ago. Life is too short to give a shit about what other random people like think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the irony of that all is, and this is something I figured out relatively recently. The irony of it is, the less you start caring, the more people actually start to like you.
More people respond to it.
They
want that. It's like refreshing. You know, it's like totally. When somebody is just completely themselves and they give zero fucks. It's like,
right.
I love those people.
Dude, I remember as a little kid, all you wanted to do is be like everyone else because God forbid you stood out, right? If you're in elementary school and junior high, if you stood out, it was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you got older, if you were like everybody else, it wasn't a good thing. Like the guy that stood out was the one that got the attention. He's the one that got the girls. He's the one that, everybody kind of appreciated, right? Yeah. It was that weird person.
Against the grain.
And I appreciate weird people. I really, really do. And I don't mean weird as in like you're pick your scabs off and eat them weird. Oh. I mean, you're just, you don't mind. Because I think everybody's weird. Mm-hmm. If they're just really truly themselves, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're out in society and you're really just who you really are, mm-hmm. I think most people look at you and be like, God, that guy's a little weird.
I smell my own armpits.
Yeah, they're a little
weird. That's what I do.
Do you smell your own armpits?
Sometimes.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
You want to know, here's what's weird. This is she's going to be so mad.
Hmm.
What?
I cannot tell.
I like how you preface that.
Sorry, Jessica. Wherever this goes.
Hey, babe. Yeah. I cannot tell if my girlfriend has BO. I can't tell.
Wow. And you've really done an investigative job.
Like she'll be like, oh man, I just worked out and whatever.
You're attracted to her pheromones.
Exactly. But it's so weird because I don't remember who it was. Her dad was over something. He was teasing her because she had worked out, was in the morning. We hadn't showered. And he's like, oh, he's like, you got BO. And, we start laughing. And so then she checks and she's like, oh, I do. I'm going to go shower. So then I'm like, come here. I'm like, I can't smell bad on you. Like I just smell you and it doesn't smell bad.
I used to think
that's pheromone.
I used to
we're
think
like dirty animals though. I like it.
I wasn't gonna say that, but it's true, dude. Yeah.
Well, I
get around.
I used to think that was a sign of that's the person you're supposed to be with, right? If you have like if you're attracted to their pheromones and you're attracted to their pheromones. But I also think that there's so many other now. I think back maybe we evolved that way, right? So I think maybe back in the days, like that was before communication and things like that. Like it was just probably smell. You walked up, wow, there's this match, and then all of a sudden there's chemistry there. Where now you could have that like smell thing going on with someone, like, oh man, her pheromones or her smell is just amazing. Yeah. But then she's a fucking bitch.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like
imagine if we could.
As best as she smells good when she's stinky, I don't give a fuck because she's a bitch, dude. Yeah. So I don't want nothing to do with her.
You
so
know, it reminds me of dogs that go around smell each other's assholes. It's like they know everything about them after that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I won't go that far. Yeah, no, I'm talking about armpits.
Okay,
I'm not like, hey, babe, come here.
Hey, listen,
blow one in my face. No, it's
so I do think it's a redeeming quality that somebody can have now, but it's not like it used to be.
So it's not gonna. It doesn't mean you're compatible in all areas.
Of course,
it just
not.
Means your DNA. It's because they've actually done studies on this, and I'm not going to fucking tell you where the study is, okay, before I get a bunch of messages.
I need a reference,
Google.
Please.
I get people asking me.
Add a glossary.
Hey, Sal, can you tell me the study that you referred to that said 0.7 grams of protein per pound? I'm like, all you got to do is this.
Yeah. Google that exact question. Google the same question you just asked
but
me.
But anyway, they've done studies on this, and people who like each other's smells, they'll do like DNA tests, and they'll find that they'll be highly compatible with their, like if they would have offspring, where their likelihood of having a healthy offspring is much higher based off of that. So I don't think it's telling you, like, this is the person we'll be with for 10, 20 years. It's telling you, I want to bang this person, and then our genes will probably mix well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she can't. It's weird, man. I'll smell her, and I'll just be like, smells good to me.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
And you guys don't like my smell, so that's good.
No. No,
yeah,
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to fail
you. All right, so I'm going to read something to you. I'm not going to tell you what I'm reading. See if you guys can figure it out. Okay.
All right.
It
I like
says,
this game.
First, if I'm not for me, who am I? Nobody.
Whoa.
Second, yes, if I'm only for me, what am I? Nothing. Third, if not now, when? Once more, unless constructive, selfish, I work hard. Like Mark Spitz, perfecting first time. Absolute nothing can help protect me. Fourth, only hard work can save us, but if we teach only our clan, we are all hated then. And it just continues on and on and on.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'll read one more part on this. Who else but God gave man love that can spark mere dust to life? And then there's more. So remember what this is from the Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, I
knew it.
Magic soap.
It sounded wacky enough to be that
soap. Dude.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Like it is fucking weird, but it's more than weird.
Yeah.
It's more than weird.
If you like break it down.
I feel like some of our smart listeners needs to go, okay, this is what you do. Dr. Bronner's soap, by the way, great product. Yeah. I've been using it for
Amazing.
Years. Thrive Market sells it for hella cheap. Mm-hmm. I get it for something like 40%.
I literally get like all versions of soap, you know, from Dr. Bronner.
I love their soap. Yeah, they've been around for a long time. Didn't realize that it was this fucking weird. The whole label, because if you look at the label, it's a bunch of writing.
Yeah.
And it looks old school because I think that's what they're looking for. But it's weird when you read it.
I know.
I want some of our smart listeners to buy Dr. Bronner's, or if you already have Dr. Bronner's, like
let's figure this out. Let's break down his philosophy, dude, like his overarching sort of theme.
There's some hidden messages.
Well,
yeah,
it seems a little Old Testament-esque.
It's not just that. It's a bunch of other shit.
Yeah, but yeah, it gets a lot more crazy.
Dude, I wonder if you can decipher this. If you'll
has
find...
anyone looked him up? Is he like a philosopher or anything?
So I did look him up.
Okay.
And it's a weird story about Dr. Bronner's. But what I would like to do is I feel like if somebody read this and broke it down, someone smart.
I want it decoded.
Yes.
Right?
I bet you there's a fucking chest of gold hidden somewhere that we could find.
Like you could find, you know what it is?
It's something like
it's
that.
Probably like, you know, how they're trying to get that treasure in Oak Island.
Yeah.
He's probably like leading people to that direction.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. It's really weird. You read
it's
about
a treasure
him.
Hunt. Of some sort.
He was a super...
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to buy some of this soap now that you guys have been talking about it so much.
Oh, dude.
I had no desire before. It's all natural, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of natural ingredients anyway.
Yeah. So he's... it's very religious. Let me see what
do
else.
Do they do everything? Body soap, hair soap? Yeah. What, is it everything?
So it's soap that can be used for anything. It's like old school soap. Because, you know, back in the day, you had soap. You didn't have soap, shampoo,
so
fucking
my,
car wash.
My best friend, his mom, made us this stuff one year, and it worked as body soap, hair shampoo, and toothpaste. So you could do all it had just a hint
do
of
that last motion, the toothpaste one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was
brushing
good.
Your teeth looks like a hand
I wish
job.
You guys would have seen that.
What is the universal sign for brushing your teeth?
Everybody now stop what you're doing and make a brush your teeth movement.
But close your eyes.
See what it looks like.
And open your mouth.
Yeah, while you're driving right now. While you're driving in your car listening to my book right now.
Yeah,
do the universal brushing your teeth sign
and
right
then
now.
Tell us what people react. You know, how they react.
Yeah. No, so I think that she used to do this. It was amazing. Like I get in the shower, just bring my toothbrush in the shower, and lather up my body, my hair, squirt it in my mouth, and brush my teeth. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was all natural products.
It's like everything.
So everything.
What
was
it made with?
Put it all over your body.
I wish I remember everything that was in
beef
it.
Beef fat. Or
I do.
Like that.
I do remember my least favorite part was the brushing my teeth, though. Like the same stuff that was going on in my head and my body.
Yeah, that's a weird idea.
You know what's really good to brush your teeth with?
I know somebody listening right now has probably got some shit that they can do that.
You know what's really good to brush your teeth with? Activated charcoal.
Charcoal, yeah. I've heard
activated
that.
Charcoal is supposed to be excellent to brush your teeth, but and then it makes your whole mouth black. And then
it's
you
just not satisfying as like, you know, lathered toothpaste.
Of course.
They've conditioned us to want that.
They put soap in there to make it foam up so you think it's better, but the lather does fuck all for you.
Right.
That's an English term. It means nothing.
Fuck all.
Yeah. It does zero for you when you brush your teeth and it foams.
Yeah.
Same thing with shampoo and it foams.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
It's a total marketing thing.
Are you guys loyal to... like products like shampoo and stuff like that?
I am.
Not anymore.
You just use Suave?
Yeah.
I have not.
I just like don't give a fuck.
I think the generation coming up right now doesn't give a fuck. And I think that, you know, we are watching Amazon completely change the marketing game because there are so many great companies out there now.
I think people are still loyal. I just don't think they care about the brand name. I think they find a product and then they like it.
Yeah, like I care about the ingredients now. Yeah.
No, but
over like the label.
Yeah, and what Adam's referring to is a high rating on Amazon or a high rating on whatever, way more than a brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that feedback. Everybody wants to know, like,
bro,
you know,
that's
what
so,
the experience
that's
is.
That's so free market.
Yeah.
Because what happened in the past was you couldn't rely on that because you might not know anybody that's used those products.
Right.
Because you have a small circle.
And you think the company's really just promoting that, you know.
Yeah, so if a company's been around for a long time, you kind of trust them, you know that, okay, you know whatever brand, Calvin Klein makes underwear, been around a long time, you know, that's the one. But now, because you can now compile, you know, hundreds of thousands of reviews and get, you know, general rating from a bunch of people, you can trust that and you can say, you know what, forget this company that I've been using forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this new one, which normally people don't do that, right? I'm going to try this new one because it's got a 5-star rating.
So awesome. Yeah. I know. It is interesting to see how that's all taken off.
It's very interesting. What kind of shampoo do you use, Adam?
I have this stuff. What did Katrina get me? It's this new stuff that I have right now, and it has that kind of tea tree oil smell that I don't like. It's for my psoriasis on my head.
You don't like tea tree oil?
I hate tea tree oil.
Really?
And I know it's so. But my girl's
got it. It's an astringent, right? Natural astringent.
Dude, it's great for my psoriasis. It's great for nails, dry skin, like dandruff, all these things. It's great for. I used to do tea gel a long time ago, but this is another version of that. And I can't. I wish I remember the brand. I've only been using it for like 3 months or so.
So I use.
I'll look it up and tell you guys.
So in my family, it 100% runs in my family to go bald. Like 100%. Like I'm fucked on either direction, whatever. I'm supposed to be bald. My brother's losing his. My dad's, he's got a little bit on the top. Or my grandfather was like a cue ball. But I've been using Saul Palmetto shampoo for probably 10 years now. And my hair is definitely thinned, but I got most of it. Look at that.
No, you have
look at it, man.
Look at that.
You have a great joy.
For sure, you probably have the best hair out of all of us.
No.
Oh, dude.
Look at Justin. Justin will never lose a single hair.
It's all there, but it's like white.
It's going to be white, though. Justin's going to be white by the time he's your age.
But it looks good on
Anderson Cooper or whatever that guy's
name is. You have the perfect salty, peppery, handsome look. Like you've looked 40 since you were 20.
That's true.
I say, like, you've looked distinguished.
You're laying it on thick.
You look distinguished since you were 20.
Yeah.
You guys are a thing.
I like Justin. Your hair is nice, dude. When it turns all white, it's going to be fucking awesome. You're going to look like Steve Martin.
I can only hope. Yeah.
Right. Remember Steve Martin?
Get my banjo up.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Do you know who Steve Martin is?
Yes, dude. Do you understand that Steve Martin's one of the best banjo players out there?
Oh shit. You know more about him than I do.
You just got schooled on
it. I did.
I got your joke though, Justin.
There you go. Thank you. I don't know everything. Yeah. I only know good things. Important things.
Ah.
Anyway.
That's how you justify it.
Speaking of BO, did you know that your smell will change based on your mood?
Really?
An emotion?
Mm-hmm. Well, is that why I get oniony sometimes?
Chains up.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it like anxiety or
so if
stress?
If you're anxious or like super nervous and you sweat, that is far more likely to produce the BO smell than if you just sweat normally.
Yeah. Because my wife actually trips on how little my BO is. Like, I don't smell at all. And sometimes I don't shower for a while and I don't smell. But then there's those days where it's like, really bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's
normally day three or four without
the shower. Yeah. Like the fourth day. You know what I mean? It comes in like a truck, like a garbage truck.
Wow. Yeah. I'm reading studies on it. There's actual studies on it. Isn't that cool? Anxiety can make your sweat smell worse. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I was what is
happening?
Sense.
Obviously, we know stress is changing your hormones, but what is it doing with the sweat? How is it changing the smell? That's interesting.
Your smell is a result of your microbiome that's on your skin, and you have bacteria signature type colonies throughout your whole body. So there's a particular type of breakdown that's on your eyes, that's on your scalp, that's on your dick, that's on your freaking armpits. Everywhere is a little bit different, but it's very unique. Now, if your pH changes in your skin, it can promote the proliferation of certain types of bacteria. And anxiety tends to promote the proliferation of a type of bacteria that creates a byproduct, which is that smell.
Waste. Yeah.
Which is that smell. But what's weird about that is, why did we evolve that?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No. Is it like a repulsion kind of or is it like attracting or is it repulsing?
It's BO stinks.
Right, but some people like that.
That stink?
They're freaks.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think they like the BO smell.
I don't know.
A natural smell. Or
it's a good question.
Well,
because
if you're when you're stressed or when your diet is way off, those two things both can manipulate that smell. You're not.
It's like an unhealthy signal.
Right, it's an unhealthy signal.
Maybe stay away.
Right, yeah. It could say that this person is not optimal for mating with because they are super high stress.
Not taking care of themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
very true.
So, I mean, if I was guessing why we evolved that way, that's what I would guess is that makes the most sense to me.
That makes the most common sense.
It'd be interesting to see what affects the smell more. Poor diet or stress, because I would think it's
both.
The combination. Well, yeah, both are bad, right?
because I know the diet will. I've seen people smell change just by their right. their diet. I noticed a big difference in Katrina's. I'm very sensitive to smell. Right, we've already established this, and so I noticed a significant difference in her body smells when she switched over to ketogenic diet. When she stopped eating a lot of carbohydrates and processed foods,
did it get better or worse?
Oh, way better. Like a big, and she wasn't bad before, but if she had,
she's got a back
way better. Wait, yeah.
Wait. He's got a back fast.
I love you, honey. You smell great. You know that. So she, I'm sure she's not going to like this episode. No, there was a significant difference when she knows it because she knows it in her skin too. Like she would break out sometimes.
Well, I noticed that in my wife's breath. Yeah.
Yeah, right. All those things.
We're,
right?
Just like, we're winning points today.
Yeah. I don't care.
She Doug, we won't tell. We won't release this. Just let the girls know about this one, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just keeping it real, and I think that she's one of the few girls that I had been with long enough. I had seen a change in the diet, consistency on both sides to make that assumption. You know what I'm saying? Because I hadn't spent enough time with any other woman before and after eating a certain way to have something really to measure. Otherwise, I could just think that, oh, maybe she just smells better today because she didn't sweat or because she, whatever. But now I've seen it long enough, like where she was eating before and then how she's eating now.
Dude, how funny is that?
Significant difference.
That we don't even, Western societies and medicine doesn't even consider, unless it's extreme, doesn't consider smell to be an indicator of health, you know, good or bad. When it for sure is, it's not the indicator, but
it's definitely a signal.
It is a signal, 100%. In fact, they have dogs. No joke, I'm not exaggerating or making shit up. There are trained dogs
cancer, right?
That can smell cancer.
Yeah, I've heard this.
They'll come and sniff. There's a fucking. They have a dog that can smell if you have Parkinson's, early Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Because all
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yes,
I believe it though.
I swear they can sense death too,
dude. You
know, like imminent, like a few hours beforehand.
Well,
you know.
Bro, think about it. Like your body. If you're getting one of these disorders, something's changing in you. Why wouldn't it change a scent that you're giving off? Now we're
chemistry is going to change. Yeah,
and I think that I really, although humans obviously we don't have a sense of smell like a dog. I think we've lost our ability to utilize that sense like we used to because we're just not in touch with it. We're not in tune with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But fucking weird, right? Yeah. I think for sure this is something we need to consider. Like if I know me I'll use me as an example. Like if my diet is good, my farts don't smell straight up. They don't smell.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, not as bad.
There's no smell. Yeah. There isn't a smell, Justin. I'm sorry, bro.
I don't believe you.
I have the same thing, but mine's burps. So I have these nasty burps, and I've told you guys before that I get, like if I'm drinking soda and stuff like that, but when my diet is clean, one, I'm hardly ever burping, and if I do, it's not rank. Like
smellless.
They're smellless. But when I'm drinking soda, I'm off on the diet, and I burp, it's so nasty. I'll burp in the car. Katrina's got to roll the window down as if I farted. Yeah, that's how bad my
burp. Is it all like acidy? Like,
you know, I don't know what a different burp tastes and
like the Fremunda.
Like, I don't know what your burps taste and smell like because I've never. I know
it
what
depends on if it's like one of those deep ones. It's like really from the bowels. It's like, God, demon just left me.
You know why Justin doesn't believe us right now? Because his farts always smell.
Yeah.
He's like, there's always at least a trace. You know what I mean? Like, yes, there's a signature.
No, dude.
Signature particle.
Bro,
in the air that you left.
I've done it in the shower.
It's science.
I've done it in the shower. You know in the shower how it hits you right away because there's no filter? I've done it in the shower. Nothing. Not a single, nothing. It's because my diet's good. You know what I'm saying?
What is it about us humans, too,
still don't believe you.
That make you want to smell your own butt and your own farts?
I don't think that's true.
Yes, it is.
You want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to know your own brand.
I always want to smell my fart.
You want to because you enjoy it or you're just checking?
I kind of want to know what everybody else is experiencing.
I think in my head, I'm justifying that I just am checking. But if I've been doing it for 30-something years and I keep doing it, what am I checking? is it working still? But you do.
Yeah.
Do not tell me. You don't,
I wonder if it's
you don't fart and then take a big whiff.
What am I brewing?
Just
today?
To check it. Yeah, right. Why do we do that?
Maybe interesting. Maybe it's instinctive. Maybe we learn to do that to check our own health.
And why do I bite my nails
my
and
health,
nobody
Justin?
Taught me to do that?
No thanks.
Biting nails?
Yeah, like you.
Oh, so that's a big problem for me, right? Ever since I was a kid, and I fucking passed that shit on to my kids because they do the same thing. And I read about it, and apparently, at first, they used to think it was an OCD thing, but it's not. It's something that people who are, if people are perfectionists, they like to do it. But it's not OCD. Don't ask me the difference. I don't know.
I don't feel, see, Katrina always like, oh, you're stressed. Why do you keep biting your nails? I'm like, no, it's they need to be trimmed. And I take care of them. You guys look at my, if you look at my hands and my finger, they look really, yeah. So it's just, I'm really good with my teeth. You know what can I say? And I don't know who taught me when I was little. But
if we had any fans that were attracted to us, they're all gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. They're gone now. Yeah. We've secured that one right there.
Filthy animals.
Yeah. But we do some shit. Right? Why do we
weird
have this?
Shit.
Why do we have this habit to pick at scabs? Why do we have? And it's not things that your mom or someone taught you to do, or you saw.
Well,
we've
suppressed our instincts. You know what I mean? We're animals at the end of the day.
We're such animals.
We are. And we all want to think we're better than that.
We pretend so much.
We're not.
We
better
shave.
Than that.
We shave our body hair in total denial of our monkey nature. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are we doing that?
I literally, like, I mean, there's people with like multiple nipples. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, yeah.
You really? Went too far again.
You okay. did. Where did you go there, dude?
I'm saying, like, we're like mammals, you know, that have.
People do have
extra
titties. There are some weird.
Yes. You know, there's
did
cases like that.
Did you say
titties? Titties. mammal titties.
You got to make up your mind. It's teat.
Well,
or titty.
I kind of like titties because it's new. You know, it's like
that sounds like a t-shirt brand, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, titties.
Titties
might be
like with a D.
Yeah, I don't. Titties. Yeah, no. We're total animals. We pretend like we're not. Everything we do is driven by these instincts, and then we create this freaking elaborate culture around all these weird things to make it seem like we're fucking complex when we're not, dude.
We're
just
so smart.
We're just smelling each other, trying to have sex, and that's basically it. And food and eat.
Right.
Basically it.
Right.
We overcomplicate things sometimes.
That's it. Bring on the bird.
He's an animal bird.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
Our first question is from Alicia A. Warren. Listen to an old podcast. Have any of your pre-workout rituals changed?
Big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, my pre-workout ritual is so different than it used to be.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what it used to be, and I'm going to tell you what it is now. What I used to do is I used to supplement.
Bunch of stimulants.
So, yeah, so 30 minutes before, I would take citrulline, I would take branched-chain amino acids, I would take glutamine, I would take stimulants like caffeine. Then I would foam roll for probably 20 minutes before my workout, and then I would start my workout. Now I drink coffee before my workout, so all I have is caffeine. Maybe some the coffee I drink is Chimera, so it's got theanine and all the other stuff in there. So it's just coffee because I realize that all those other amino acids and stuff are largely a waste of money and time. And now I don't do any foam rolling at all, which is the biggest change. All I do now is priming, which is crazy because had you told me 5 years ago that I would be able to work out without foam rolling beforehand, I would have said you were crazy because I had reached a point where if I didn't foam roll before my workout, shit would hurt for the first half of my workout. Now it's all priming. Now I'm like 90-90. I'm activating muscles while I'm in particular stretches. I'm doing a bunch of prime pro stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I jump into my workout and it's literally one or two warm up sets max, and then I'm going heavy. Whereas before it was this fucking long bullshit, you know, thing that I had to do just to be able to get, you know, full range of motion.
I think mine's changed in a similar way, right? So when I was competing, I was probably doing quite a bit of pre-workouts compared to what I do now. But if I'm also being completely honest too, you know, I'll use a, you know, crazy pre-workout once a month, maybe twice in a month. Like when there's a day that I just really need to fucking ramp myself up. So I still keep one at my house always. There's always one for me to scoop up. But like I can buy a pre-workout and it'll last me almost a year, like 6 months to a year, because I take it that little, right? And so, but that was something I was taking on a more regular basis, meaning like I was doing it 3 to 4, sometimes 5 times in a week. I was using a pre-workout to get me up. So now most of the time, I'll have a Chimera coffee either sometime in the morning or a couple hours before my workout. And ever since we signed with Organifi, I've been drinking the green juice. And the green juice gives me, it's not a stimulant like fucking a pre-workout. So if you're looking for something that's going to just like wire you crazy, like it's not designed to do that. But it does give me a nice sustained energy throughout the day.
You know, I'm trying to figure out why that is, because I noticed the same thing, but it's not super, what's the word? It's not super evident. It's like you're drinking like, boom.
Yeah, no, it's not like
that. But you do feel...
Well, it's like sustainable.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you
I'm
what...
I'm trying to figure out what's doing it.
Well, let me tell
it.
You
is
what
it the ashwagandha? Is
yeah,
it the
adaptogenic properties it has?
That could be some of it. What I attribute it to is I notice... So the way I use it, right? I use my green juice to help supplement the lack of greens that I'm eating on a regular basis. I just... I like to admit, or I like to think that I get enough greens every single day, but in reality, I don't. And in fact... I consistently miss my greens target on a daily basis more than I actually get it. So that's why it's become pretty much a staple thing that I drink. Although, of course, I'm always trying to get my greens naturally. Now, I've had days where 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row of, man, 4 to 6 servings of vegetables, and I feel the same way. So what I think it's more is it's making sure I'm hitting some micronutrient targets that I wasn't hitting before.
I could see that.
And by making sure that I'm getting what I need, mm-hmm. Just gives me this more sustained energy throughout the day. So the green juice has become a staple, and it doesn't necessarily need to be pre-workout before. I've trained myself to be a guy who shakes up something before he goes to the gym and he drinks something. So I've just switched.
It is a ritual, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. And I've been doing this for a fucking long time, so I've already got the habit of doing it. That's the best time it seems. Like, in a perfect world, maybe I had the green juice in the morning or night before bed, and you could argue that maybe that's better to do. But for me, I've already trained myself to have these weird rituals before I go to the gym. I've now replaced something that's fucking loaded full of stimulants, and I'm starting to make that a habit of using my green juice, and it's been doing wonders for me as far as how I feel, you know. So that's been a major. And then just like you, and those that have been listening to the podcast since the beginning know this, because I think I was the first one to say that he eliminated the foam roll. So I remember we were talking one time, and I said, you know, it's been 6 months, and I haven't used a foam roll ever since we started creating Prime and Prime Pro and getting into mobility. I went from being a guy just like you who spent 15 to 20 minutes religiously foam rolling and stretching before he trained, and just like you, I had to ease my way into my lifting, to now, like, I prime. It only takes me like 5-10 minutes tops to get myself warmed up, and then I'm right into it, and I feel better than I've ever felt in my life doing more dynamic flexibility than doing
crazy
static type stuff.
I used to have to eat and really schedule my eating before the workout, like 1-2 hours ahead of time, and like that was like, I in my head it was stuck that that's where I was getting all my energy to be able to you know, accomplish the lifts I wanted to accomplish and to kill it in the gym. And then I started, you know, getting into fasting, intermittent fasting, and just realized that you know, I still could have energy, and my performance wasn't completely dependent on that. And so that's something that I actually realized that, like, when I would overfeed, like before the workout, it would actually take away from my performance on some level, and I would feel a little bit more lethargic. So that was interesting. I've definitely changed that. And obviously the dump schedule with that, I used to drop a deuce, you know.
Oh, beforehand. There's nothing worse than having to poop like 20 minutes into your workout.
Like, I would always have to plan on that, you know, going into the workout. That. Oh, I don't have to do that as much anymore.
Makes me so angry when that happens.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously the priming's been a game changer. And, you know, just to reiterate what everybody's talked about, it's definitely something that we've applied personally ourselves.
I'll tell you what, if you priming, proper priming, and when I say proper, I mean it's individualized, because a warm-up, general warm-up, is not individualized to your body. So although you'll get some benefit from moving the body and getting the central nervous system firing and feeling, you know, the muscles feel a little more pliable and all that stuff, you'll get some benefit from that, but if you don't individualize your priming session, you're missing out massively. Like,
well, and to make it even more specific,
it makes a huge difference.
I mean, to what you're doing that day. I mean, if you can really nerd out and see like what kind of performance gains you get just by being that specific and really getting the most out of each one of those.
Dude, I will add, when I started priming properly, I was just from the priming, I was adding 5 to 10 pounds on most of my lifts. earlier too in my workout. So not only was I adding more weight, but I was adding more weight quicker in the workout with having to warm up so much. And it's for sure the priming, because I've tested it on and off.
It reminds me of, so like, let's use bench for an example. Like, you would have to do like a couple sets of like warm-up sets sometimes, like with light weight, just to get that type of response, you know? And like, I've eliminated that, and that took a lot of time out.
Right.
So
yeah, no, it makes a huge difference. Priming is a very big deal, and it's better than any pre-workout you can take.
Well, remember when we created MAPS Prime and Prime Pro, we did it with the intention of, okay, you know, we got all this great feedback that we helped so many people save a ton of money that they were wasting on supplements every single month. You know, you have I know some people like myself that were spending $150 to $300 every month on supplements that in my head I had turned into these rituals that I thought that's what I needed to do to get those type of gains. That once I eliminated that, implementing something like priming, I'm getting the same or more results than I ever could have thought I could have got from any sort of supplement. So
it is weird though that we do create rituals before we do things that we deem important. Mm-hmm. And it is an important part of your workout. I recommend everybody have a ritual before their workout and before they go to bed. Anything you do that's important to you, that ritual sets the stage. And it doesn't matter what that ritual is, by the way. Like, some people, and you see athletes have been doing this for decades, athletes have been creating their own rituals where, oh, before a big game, we got to, you know, jump and hit the fucking picture of whatever, or yeah, I got to wear a particular jersey, or, you know, I put my right shoe on first.
Not wash my undershirt for the entire season.
I put my right shoe on first, or whatever, or we all need to sing the song, or, you know, and these are all rituals that people do before games, and they've found that people who create rituals perform better. Now, it's not, sometimes it can be the ritual, like priming by itself will definitely help you work out better. But it's also the mindset that a ritual creates, which is why I think humans, we tend to naturally create rituals for ourselves before anything important. So you talk to a salesperson who's, that's what they've been doing for years, and they're really good at sales, and you ask them, what do you do before every sales call? And I guarantee you, they will have some kind of a ritual, however small. There's something that they always do before they get on a sales call.
Sales and marketing knew this, right? And this is where pre-workouts got their, how they exploded. Because
they attached it to a ritual.
Yes, they attached it to a ritual. And what is so brilliant, and I've said this to so many people, like, you think that because you're taking all these things, you're seeing more results in your body because of those things. But really what it is because you've never been so consistent. And because you have this ritual and you're spending money on it, you've been more consistent. What's really rewarding you is your consistency. Mm-hmm. It's the consistency that's making the change in your body. It's not your fucking newest fat burner, muscle builder, amino acid supplement that someone closed you on. That's not what's doing it. I guarantee it. In fact, those that want to take the fucking Pepsi challenge can measure this by tracking every single day that you consistently get your lifts in with and without a, you know, pre-workout, amino acid, creatine, and whatever else fucking thing, your no explode, everything else that you're taking. Get rid of that and compare them heads up. I guarantee you, if you're true to it and you do as many days as you did with
you won't notice the difference.
You won't notice the difference.
No. But I will say this. I recommend a pre-sleep ritual as well. And it makes a big difference. Like, an hour,
I agree.
Like what I do before bed, 1 hour before bed, electronics are off, lights are dim, or we have candlelight. Mm-hmm. We drink chamomile tea, and we have nice, calming, relaxing type conversation. And when I do that, every single time I do that, I notice an improvement in my sleep. And so pre anything ritual, it does set the stage for what you're about to do. And so I suggest creating rituals for things pre anything that's important to you.
Next question is from Jazz Massa. How do you feel about female-only exercise areas? What do you think that says about our society?
I think that says more about the fact that women want to, or a decent percentage of, probably a lot less now than it used to be, but a decent percentage of women
still want that.
Feel uncomfortable working out.
They still
men.
Want. Yeah. I mean, so being completely transparent, this is something that we struggle with currently right now. So we have hired a marketing team for Mind Pump as of 3 months ago, and we've been building out all of our sales funnels and sales and marketing and leads and email sequences and yada yada. All that's been happening behind the scenes at Mind Pump. And one of the biggest struggles that we have is much of our message is against or anti things like this, like
color, separating everybody.
Right, separating men from women, because the message is pretty much the same to both male and female, you know. And so, but the truth of the matter and the thing that we keep getting pushback from our CMO is that, listen, not everybody is ready for that yet, and you got to at least get them in to listen to you guys first, and then you can change their thought process.
It sucks. It's a huge challenge for us. Because if you create, let's say you create a fitness program that you want to sell, you will sell more for sure if you take that same program and
wrap it
with female type marketing with women in the videos and all that stuff, and say workout for women, and then take that same workout, do the same thing but for men, and say workout for men, versus just selling one and saying this is for everybody. Even if the workouts are the same, there's nothing different. The only difference is the wrapping.
Yep.
But it fucking works, and it sucks mainly because, I mean, we are, we've been in fitness for a long time. We're purists when it comes to delivering. Mm-hmm. When we talk about fitness, when we talk about exercises, when we talk about corrective exercises, we talk about fat loss, muscle building, all that stuff, we are purists because this is what we've been doing for a long time. And it's not true. It's inaccurate to say this is a workout for women and it's different than a workout for men. Because that's not, first of all, there's not true. It's the same for men and women. And really, the only thing that really, if you want to take anything into account, it's the individual. It has nothing to do with whether you have a penis or vagina.
Yeah.
It's all about the individual. What are your imbalances? What's your exercise history? And all that stuff. So it's difficult. But yeah, I mean, women feel uncomfortable. Many women feel uncomfortable working out around men in gyms. And I kind of don't blame them.
Yeah,
I really don't.
You can't blame the gym for doing that, because they're
just going with the demand.
They're
providing what the members have probably voiced.
Right, yeah. And they're in the business of keeping people coming to their gym, and they need the membership fee. So I don't fault them for that. I don't fault these companies that are doing this, because as we're demanding it as consumers, if people stop buying, if messages like ours continue to spread, hopefully one day, including ourselves, we'll never have to go this route. Hopefully 5 years, 10 years from now, that, you know, women will think this is patronizing, right? They'll think that they're going to color it pink. Why? Just because they're advertising me, and they'll turn them off. But the truth of the matter is, you're unique. And most people do want that. I don't know how many times I've got someone ask me, well, do you guys have a program for women? Yeah. You know, do you have a program for women? And it's like,
I think part of it's conditioning too, right? They've been conditioned by marketers for so long that they have to find the one. They have to find the one that's for women.
It's a lot of undoing. And I think that we're always trying to kind of carve like the righteous path, you know, as far as like what we present in fitness. But it is true. You have to be able to meet people where they, you know, like right here, here's what you kind of expect, but there's going to be a twist to it. And that's kind of our new direction, is more like, this may look familiar from, you know, what you've seen, but there's a lot more depth to it once you get in.
Think of it this way. We've all been in this situation. Like I remember sitting down with people that would be considered like a warm lead for me, right? They come in to see an appointment with me. They don't really know who I am. They just know that I'm a trainer. And my desired outcome of the conversation is that they buy personal training with me and they become a client. And a lot of times, in fact, more often than not, they sit down and, you know, a good part of the sales process for me is asking a lot of questions. And I'm asking all about them and their history, what do they know about nutrition and weight training. And more often than not, they're spitting out tons of fallacies. And I can't just come out and say,
you're wrong about that. You're wrong.
Right. Yeah. Because if I start doing that, a wall goes up. And then they're not receptive to hear anything from me. Mm-hmm. And so it's the marketing that you see with people that do stuff like this, and what we potentially kind of have to do to get people into Mind Pump, is the same thing. It's not that we're changing our message or we're trying to manipulate the market. It's like, if I want those people's attention, I got to kind of give them what they want to hear at first. Then when I get them in, then over time. So sometimes people will be telling me things, I know it's wrong. I'm for sure it's wrong, and I can help these people out. What I do is I get excited, because it's like, wow, these people have a lot that I can help them with and I could teach them, but I'm also aware enough to know that if I challenge everything they say right now or what, because it's wrong, that I might actually offend them and I'll never get them to buy anything from me, and that was a wasted conversation and I never helped that person.
Now, the other thing to consider too is because the market is changing so fast now, like it's changing very quickly in a very short period of time, largely because information now is just so accessible and it just gets out there. We have the internet now, in the sense that I think marketing has been one way for so long that now it's becoming marketable just to market differently, because now you separate yourself a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like if I, like 10 years ago, if I came out and I said, here's a program that programs for women are bullshit, women need to train like men, 10 years ago, I would have sold nothing. Today, because we've been marketed so long like that, and because information is getting out a little more, it might even be more marketable. I think that's part of the reason why CrossFit did so well.
Yeah.
They were doing shit, and they were like, men and women working out, same exercises, everything's the same. Women are going to deadlift, women are going to squat, women are going to whatever. And it kind of became a plus, you know what I'm saying? Whereas the old message was, you know, women have to work out this way and men have to work out that way.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, I can see why a woman would be uncomfortable going into a gym. I mean, when you walk into a gym, especially if you go into, first off, I feel uncomfortable when I go into a yoga class that is all women. And that's just because I'm the only guy in there. Now, that doesn't even throw into the mix that I don't feel threatened by any of these women because I'm bigger than all of them. So if I mixed it up and I said, and if I put myself in the mind of a woman and I'm going into a free weight area, I'm the only girl in there, I'm working out, so I'm already sweating, I'm already kind of uncomfortable, I'm not, you know, looking my best, whatever, and dudes are kind of looking at me and they're all bigger than me, I could see why it's kind of uncomfortable. That being said, I'll tell you what, I've been doing this for a long time. If you're a woman, you're listening and you're nervous or whatever about going in the free weight area, nothing is more empowering than going into the free weight area, working out, and realizing nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Because the reality is, women in the free weight area, more often than not, get lots of respect from the guys in there. Yeah. And if you go regularly, and I've seen this happen more than 10 times, where there's a woman that works out regularly in the free weight area, and then we'll get a new member that's a guy that acts douchey, the other guys in the free weight
regulate.
Area, the other guys in the free weight to regulate hard. They become kind of protective of her in there. But it's super empowering. Go in there and just fucking do your thing, man, and you'll feel great afterwards.
Next question is from Prime and Glory. Besides moving, better sleep, and good nutrition, what are other big rocks to improve wellness of children?
Oh, for sure. Make sure your kids feel stable. Make sure your kids feel stable and they feel loved. That is so important for the wellness of children, to know that, to feel that their parents will be there no matter what, that when they'll have a bed, that they'll have food, that if something happens, that they can go to mom and dad, or, you know, dad or just mom or whatever, and to know that they can be themselves and they can be loved.
Yeah,
and that is so important.
The communication too, you know, like being able to come in and describe, you know, in full detail what happened, you know, in their day. And you get a lot of information, you know, if you're there and they feel comfortable enough to come approach you with things, and, you know, you can be, it's just like really being present and involved, you know, with the day-to-day stuff that they're going through.
I was just going to say that I think, and you guys are, I think, great examples of great fathers, so all three of you, but I don't, so maybe you guys don't connect to this much, but being an outsider looking in who doesn't have kids and sees a lot of these younger parents and young kids growing up, the biggest thing that I see that I go like, fuck, man, I wonder what this kid's going to be like when he gets older, is this disconnect with the raising process. And what I mean by that is we've never been in a place before where we have these babysitting tools where we could stick some fucking Bose headphones on our kid and plug him into his iPad and stick him in a corner for fucking 4 hours and he'd be completely entertained, which for a young parent who's working full time and struggling to get by and is also raising a family, boy, I bet that's a fucking nice relief. And I bet as a parent, it can be really easy to get sucked into that of just doing that all the time, and you don't understand the long-term effects that you can
It's a tool, right? Sometimes people, like, that's the thing. Like, it comes in handy sometimes, but, like, yeah, you always have to think in terms of, like, all these things are influencers, you know, and like certain people, certain friends, you know, that they're hanging out with. All these things are influencers, and so you want to really make sure that you're, like, kind of the biggest piece of that pie as far as being the influencer and in the direction of where they're going.
Who was it that we were talking to? I don't know if it was one of your guys' friends. I think we were all together and they were talking about how, I think maybe it was Jason Phillips, who talked about the time that his kids get on. There's like certain channels or certain things that he lets them watch because they're educational. So at least he knows that if they're sitting in front of this for 2 hours, they're watching something that he knows they're growing and they're learning from. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a big rock and important because you could real easily let your kid just get go sucked down the fucking, you know, Call of Duty path, and that's all right. He's playing is freaking mucking out for hours on that. I saw that with my little brother, man. So there's a big age gap between my brother, who's now 21, I'm 36, so we've 15 years apart from each other. So I was already grown up and out of the house when he was still a child growing up, and he was like just plugged into Xbox like 24. Now I played a lot of video games too myself, so I can relate, like liking to do that, want to do it. But I remember when he got into high school and stuff that my mom let him get away with like being on the computer through the night. Like he'd get up like fucking exhausted for
that's
school
crazy.
Because he was playing video games on the internet for throughout the night. And I now see him now where he's at currently in his life, and he's getting his stuff together and he's learning, you know, kind of learning and doing his thing. But I think he's a little behind on his responsibilities and shit he needs to do. And I think that a lot of that is attributed to my mom being a single parent, working, finishing her degree at the same time, plus raising her fifth child. You know, he just got kind of, oh, you know, do your thing there. And, you know, again, that's anecdotal. It's my family. It's my brother. Who knows? There's fucking probably brilliant kids that did that too.
You know, I think that happens, but I think more often than not, the kids will be on these devices a lot. Not because their parents are super busy working and at home, although that does happen.
Because they're addicting.
It's because the parents are also
right.
doing
that's,
the same thing.
That's why
dad's on the computer, yeah, mom's on her iPhone.
Just mirroring it all.
And everybody's doing it together in the house, all doing their
this
own thing.
This is what I mean by why I think it's a big rock and why I think
it happens
all,
to me.
We all got to, yeah, I think
we're all susceptible.
You got to look out for it because it's really tough when you're the busy parent doing all these things. And then in addition to that, you're sucked in yourself because you're working and there's a good excuse for you to be on your phone checking
you
emails.
You have to set boundaries. Like with my kids, I don't let them, they're not allowed to go on the internet unless they're using it for school, but they're not allowed to go on, watch YouTube. Or my son, will, if I let him, he will play video games from 6 a.m., till bedtime.
Oh, I bet.
Easy.
I used to do it.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So I limit his video game consumption to the weekends, and when he does do it on the weekends, and he's smart, so what he does is he fucking wakes up early because he knows when I wake up, then I start to give him a time limit. So this fucker wakes up at 5 a.m., and when I get up, I'll sleep in on the weekend, which for me is like 7:30.
You know what's funny, though?
He's already been on for 2 hours.
There's something about that I like.
That's
because
funny.
It trains him that there's something he really wants to do bad that he's got to kind of find like a way around it. I kind of like that.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Because most kids would sleep in till 9 or 10, and then when they roll out of bed, then they're fucking sucked into their game, and then they never leave the couch. This kid's smart enough to get up in the morning and say, okay, before dad puts a time limit on me, I'm going to get as much gaming as I can. I'm willing on to get up on a Saturday at 5 a.m. Yeah. Shows a little bit of discipline.
You think these kids get up that early for school? No.
No way.
It's on the weekend when they know. But anyway,
I'm so tired.
But yeah, I'll limit it to just weekends, and I'll try and limit the hours or whatever, but I'm not super hard about the time limit, so sometimes it's more than others, especially if I'm busy or if I get caught on my own device and, you know, whatever, because they are super addicting. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? It's really no different than when we all of a sudden had this processed food revolution, where all of a sudden we were no longer worried about getting enough food. We had abundance of food. So it was a new problem, but you had a generation that had grown up without food. So they had the same mentality, right? I grew up without a lot of food. I grew up having to clean my plate. I grew up having to force feed kids because you don't know when you're going to get the next meal. Now it's the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We've got all this food. Mm-hmm. So we had this obesity epidemic, which is, I think that's part of the reason why we had it. Is there was no policing with the kids because we didn't really understand that we needed
it's
to.
Also very
and I think that's happening with tech. Like, I didn't get policed on tech because I didn't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now that it's there, we're not realizing like what it's causing.
Well, it reminds me a lot of like when cable TV came through, right? So we had TV.
Dude, I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid.
When we were young.
Yeah.
And see, I kind of didn't. You know, my parents made me get outside. Now, part of that was because we couldn't afford cable. Like we had like the basic five channels or whatever it was, and then we didn't pay. We off and on, like we'd have little spurts of cable for like 3 months and then we weren't paying for it anymore.
We had a black box.
And so we didn't have anything cool like that. And so I was really limited to how much TV I could watch. And my parents were always kicking me outside, stopped watching TV all day long. And so I had to play and interact. I attribute a lot of that to my social skills. I think that because I was forced to do that, be creative, play with others, do things like that, I think it has a lot to do with who I am today. And sure, I could be in the same person, or I could be in the same spot as I am today, but maybe I'd be a total different person with my social skills had my parents just allowed me to plug into a cable network and watch 8 hours of TV every day.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to. I found ways like your kid where I would go to my best friend's house like super early, or like I would always make an excuse to like stay the night, you know, with one of my friends that had like a Nintendo, and we would play like the entire day,
right?
You know, and just eat bagel bites, like,
right?
That's all we do.
Oh man, that like, sounds so
long.
Fun,
right?
Right.
That's like all we did back in the day.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Next question is from Carter's Consumptions. Why does one's body begin to feel worse when they start a detox or a treatment protocol before feeling better?
There's a term for this. This is not a bullshit thing. So I don't know if you guys ever done like a long, you know, detox where you're like, okay, I'm gonna you know, avoid all carbohydrates for a while, or I'm gonna you know, fast for a prolonged period of time. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, it makes
at first you start to feel shitty. Before?
Yeah, and it makes sense to me, the same process that you go through like when you're trying to wing off drugs or something. Like you've oversaturated your receptors with all this shit that it gotten used to getting in, and then all of a sudden you deprive it, and they're going, where's all this sugar? Where's all this stuff that you were supposed to be giving me?
Yeah, that's part of it, but there's also, so there's something called a Herxheimer reaction. It was named after the doctor that, you know, found this out or whatever. It happens after, you know, antibiotic treatment sometimes. So let's say you have Lyme disease, or, you know, you have some other, you know, horrible infection, and you treat it with really powerful antibiotics. The die-off of those microorganisms causes you to feel shitty. So now you've got like this massive die-off of all these microorganisms. It's like a toxic to your body, and you feel terrible. And this is a real thing that they've identified in, you know, like Lyme disease is one of them, is a big one. And there are other, trichinellosis, I hope I'm saying that right, is another. But I've noticed this with fasting. I noticed this when I took the parasite cleanse supplements and I did my fast. I felt horrible for the first 5 days, and then afterwards I started feeling better. And a lot of people say that was a Herxheimer effect. So it's definitely something that people will experience. But what you're saying, Adam, is completely true. You may not get a die-off effect, which is, I think that die-off effect is less likely unless you do have something that is, you know, like candida or something like that. I think what's more often is you're getting withdrawal.
Right.
You're feeling.
That's what I think.
You're feeling withdrawal from not having, you know, sugar or processed foods
or caffeine. It could be a lot of things that are in our foods or in our drinks that we're so addicted to we don't even realize.
Dude, going off caffeine is terrible.
Yeah. It is.
It's a terrible one.
It's a monster.
Yeah. What do you guys notice when you do? Do you get the headaches and all that?
Yeah, headaches and just like fogginess and the way that I think. And it's just uncomfortable and I fucking hate it. And so I'm always like going back and forth with it. No, when it's at that point where you're like, oh my God, okay, like I'm so dependent on this, I have to scale down and I have to just be adamant about like, look, I just have to go through this, you know, drink more water and like kind of go through the process of this, because then now I'm going to, you know, get the benefits all over again.
Yeah, so if you are having a Herxheimer reaction, there are a few things that functional medicine doctors and wellness experts will recommend. One is to increase the fiber in your diet, because fiber binds to things and it helps, you know, get out of your body. Some people will supplement with something like psyllium husk, which is a non-soluble fiber. The other thing is to use activated charcoal. Activated charcoal is one of the oldest remedies for toxic, you know, poison or overload.
Is that the same? Because I remember telling a story on the podcast a long time ago where, like, my brother and his friend fed me a bunch of cough syrup, and, like, I drank, like, 2 bottles of cough syrup.
Get that scissor.
And then they gave me all kinds of charcoal to sort of help.
Yeah, so charcoal does the same thing. It binds to certain molecules, making them too large to absorb, and then you poop it out or whatever. So charcoal is the other one, lots of water. And then some functional medicine doctors recommend sauna. Apparently sweating in a sauna and heat is good to eliminate some heavy metal loads. I think it was I forgot who said it. Was it Dr. Bush that said that, Doug, or was it the other guy? I remember one of those guys told me that the sauna helps with that type of thing. But
I also think that, you know, the whole detox thing and most of this stuff has been marketed to us to like sell us a package of something goes with it. Like, oh, here's your drink every day. Here's the thing. Like,
here's your detox.
I detox. Okay. Or I clean my system out the same way that I would if I was addicted to drugs. Right. And I've been down this road before where I try and eliminate something same way I do caffeine, same way I do, you know, cannabis, same thing I do, anything, Diet Cokes, anything that I feel that my body is not benefiting my body, I'm doing too much of. And I don't go cold turkey and buy some fucking detox thing and then, like, you know, tough it out for 3 days and then hopefully get... All I do is I assess the overall thing, right? So whatever it is that I'm trying to clean out. And maybe if it's your diet, you've got a lot of things in there, processed foods, you got sugars, you got caffeine, you've got energy drinks maybe you're drinking, maybe you've got a bunch of stuff in there. I don't think it's necessary to cut it all out right at one time and then get on some detoxing. Like, what I would do is like set a goal for yourself. Okay, I drink a fucking energy drink every single day. I take this every single day. I do this for my body. I know it's not good for it every single day. So how about cutting it down to 3 times in a week? And then how about cutting it down to 2 times? And then how about cutting it down to 1 time? You're going to get the same benefits. It just might take you a little bit longer.
That's so much better. It's so much better.
Right. And it doesn't turn into this like crazy hard thing to go through where you're like depriving so hard.
Now, some people mentally, they
do better with
that. They have to go one or the other.
I know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But like caffeine is a good example of that. If you go cold turkey, you're going to fucking hate life for a good week, sometimes longer. Or what I recommend to people is do what you just said, Adam. I recommend people slowly wean themselves off to...
I actually don't find it difficult at all. No. When I do it this way, this is kind of how I weave in and out. You guys, we talk a lot lately about my Coke Zero deal. And it's like, you know, when I know when it's getting out of control, when I'm buying it at home and I'm drinking it on a regular basis, I never let that go too long while I'm doing that. And then my way of detoxing from it is I go from having one every day to having them 3 times in a week and then maybe 1 time on Friday with like a dinner that I have to eventually not having it at all. And it's really not that hard. It's really easy for me to go from that and I see how great I feel when I'm off it. And, you know, I do that with many things that I allow in my life that I know is not serving my body ideally. It might be serving something else, right? Making me disconnected or whatever like that. And I enjoy enjoying it for the moment. And I think that's really how you have this balance, and it doesn't have to be this one way or the other. Because then I feel like things like these detox things create the on and off wagon with whatever it is you're trying to detox from.
Yeah, and they're trying to sell you shit.
Yeah. Right.
And I like to just keep it on, like, focusing on what's going to benefit my health and, like, you know, get me, you know, a new fresh start as far as, like, my cells are concerned. And that's why I was interested in, like, we talked a little bit about the 48 to 72 hour fast.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Collectively as a group, and I think that would be a really cool thing.
I think
thing
we should
still
do that at the beginning of the year. I think we should. I'm going to do it for sure. I'm going to try for a 72-hour fast, and not for the detox necessarily properties of it, but fasting that long, I think once you go like 24, 48 hours or so, you really ramp up cell autophagy. This is where cells, as they get older, they naturally kill themselves. Right. Well, you amplify the fuck out of that process while you're fasting for a prolonged period, and then what you do is you activate a shit ton of stem cells. Mm-hmm. When you refeed yourself, your body replaces all of those old cells with new, younger cells, and the effects are pretty incredible to the point where there are facilities in other countries that do prolonged fast to treat autoimmune issues. So if you go in there with an autoimmune issue, they'll put you on like a week or 2 week long fast, and basically will replenish or regenerate most of your immune system. So now your new immune system doesn't have these old patterns where it's attacking your body. And, you know, I'm not recommending this. Do your own research. But this is an old, time-tested way of treating some of these disorders. I know in Chinese medicine, so check this out, right?
It's like getting a reboot.
So check this out. I had our Christmas party. I saw my uncle there. My uncle does Chinese medicine. He's been doing it for decades. Very intelligent man. And we were talking about fasting. And he says, you know, Sal, he goes, it's funny because the classic Chinese treatment, Chinese medicine treatment for cancer, which they've been doing for thousands of years, is a long fast. He goes, if you had cancer, you know, 500 years ago or whatever, they would put you on a prolonged fast. And he goes, what's funny about that is for a long time, people would make fun of Chinese medicine for recommending that. And especially for that, they would say things like, don't do that. You need to feed your body. You're fighting cancer. You need to give yourself nutrients, especially if you're going through chemo, this, that, and the other. There's now confirmed studies showing that fasting with cancer weakens and kills cancer, is very anti-cancer. And if you get chemotherapy while fasting, the chemotherapy is far more effective. It kills more cancer and it's protective of the healthy cells. So not only does fasting increase the effectiveness of chemo to kill cancer, it also makes it safer on the rest of your body. Fucking trip on that shit.
Yeah, right.
And they've been saying that shit for thousands of years. But yeah, so I'm excited, dude. I really want to try a 72-hour fast.
Totally in.
And maybe some of our listeners will join in on that.
Well, let's do it this month. This comes out January 2nd, so let's do this.
Is that when this episode's dropping?
Yeah, this goes January 2nd.
So that's when this episode's, because I'm going to start my fast the day after New Year's, either Eve or day. That's what I'm going to start.
So that would be today.
Yeah, that would be today when this episode drops.
Yeah, that would be today. Well, I don't know. If, do we have to do it then? I feel like that's a little early.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to go to the LA Expo.
Yeah, I don't want to be fucking on day three of not eating food when we're trying to stand up and speak to people.
When we get back
Which,
from
by the
LA
way,
Expo.
Did we tell the audience that yet? Have we told
people? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. So Adam and I will be speaking at the LA
Expo. This weekend coming up. It'll be this weekend coming up, right?
That's right. And we're going to be speaking 2 days on intuitive eating, answering questions. Yeah. So it'll be a good time. Come show your support.
And if you're going to Vegas for CES, I'll see you there.
That's right. You're going to be in Vegas, you fuck. Yeah. How did you get Vegas?
Because the tech guy. You know what I mean? Like I have to do some homework for you guys.
Sal and I got to go to work.
You know what else is happening at the same time?
What?
Isn't the porn convention?
Oh, yeah, the AVN Awards.
Oh, rough time to be in Vegas over there, dude.
Is it really at the same time?
It's going to get weird. I don't know. Is it?
Pretty sure I lost this Rochambeau. Yeah.
Can you get Adam?
I'll take pics for you guys.
Adam has a dildo he wants you to get off.
Yeah, I'll get something signed for you.
I'm not kidding. It's been all the times I've been to Vegas. I used to go to Vegas a lot, right? And I never made it out there for the porn awards. And I've always wanted to go out there because
it would just be a trip. Huh?
I've had buddies tell me about it.
I've heard it's crazy.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about it because I know your wife's not going to be excited about you going out that time. So
she's not happy already.
Let's just say it's a good time to be in Vegas.
I told her I will video everything. So, yeah.
Good luck.
Right on.
Check it out. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's different content than the stuff you find on our podcast. So if you want more information, you want more fun, you want more good stuff, you want more controversy, the YouTube channel is our other channel. It's Mind Pump TV. Subscribe and watch.
It's our third leg.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.